episode of Papa Bear Hikes.
I'm always excited to have guests who share the same passion that I have, and that is just trying to inspire and encourage people to get out and enjoy the outdoors any way they can. As you know, I'm an avid hiker who I backpack, I do my biking. My guest, he loves the outdoors too. He loves fishing, he loves hunting. His passion is in fishing, probably about as much as mine is in backpacking. But what we have in common is we just love talking about our passions and trying to inspire other people to go out and enjoy the outdoors. Zach from the 12 Hike Podcast, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Thanks, Martin. Glad to be on here.
So, Zach, let's start off by telling us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I don't know if anyone notices or not, but I got a little bit of an accent. I've heard everything from Texas to Alabama, but I'm actually from Southern Ohio, right against the Kentucky border. And I moved to Colorado a couple years ago. So I grew up in Southern Ohio doing the rural things, you know, hunting, fishing, camping. My grandpa was the guy that actually is responsible for getting me outdoors. We spent every fall chasing squirrels. That's almost all we hunted. Fox squirrels, gray squirrels. And then eventually, as he got older and a little less mobile, we transitioned into doing fishing. So we just pond hop and those two, you know, activities are still to this day my favorite. Squirrel has a very dear place in my heart. So thanks to him, I'm an outdoorsman, and I've always been. But as far as 12 Hike goes, that's kind of an interesting story. So there's actually three people involved in 12 Hike. Excuse me, Martin. And the first guy, Brad Penix, he's actually the guy that started it. He's my family member. We're actually cousins, but we're friends. We're outdoor buddies. We went camping and hunting all the time. So he started this group, 12 Hike. What his idea was to get people together at least once a month to do a hike somewhere in Southern Ohio. And he was doing great with it. You know, he was getting people to show up. And in the meantime, I had moved away. So as he got a job and had other responsibilities, you know, 12 Hike kind of fell off his radar. But I was posting all these awesome mountain pictures to his page. And he sent me a message and said, "Hey, why don't you help me build 12 Hike up?" And at the time, it really fit perfect for me because, you know, moving away from all my friends and family, I was in a really tough place mentally. I was really struggling. I was a stay-at-home dad for the first time ever. And I don't know, I needed something to put some of my energy toward. And 12 Hike just kind of plopped itself right in my lap. But I knew that I didn't want to make 12 Hike just a hiking thing because, you know, here in Colorado, big game hunting, ice fishing, there's a lot of other things that I can do. So I sat down and I said, you know what? I love podcasts. I love the diversity that I can explore. And that's what I did. I started the 12 Hike podcast just as a way to talk to different outdoor enthusiasts. And it's been a journey. That's the short version of it.
Yeah, that's you know, you followed your passion, and what's more enjoyable than being able to talk about it and share it with others, right? And I've listened to your podcast, and you can hear the passion in your voice and with your interviews, and it's great. I really encourage everybody to check out your some of your episodes or all of them, because yeah, they're very enjoyable. I personally think you do a great job with your podcast.
I appreciate that. I still don't really know what I'm doing.
None of us ever do.
When I first started, I had just a Google Chromebook, a USB microphone, and a gallon of gumption. And let me tell you, it was a steep learning curve. And you know, those initial interviews, I was just finding people that I thought were interesting. And I'd send them a message and I'd think, okay, if they respond, I've actually got something here. If they don't, I got to move on to the next one. And really, in a sense, it's still that way. I've upgraded my equipment a little bit. I've gotten a little bit better with some of my discussion tactics. I actually plan things out a little bit now. But more importantly, it's just this idea that there are so many interesting people in the world that do really cool things outdoors. And I I kind of have to live through those people a little bit. Yes, I get outdoors quite a bit, but I've still got a family that I got to take care of. I've got to work, and I've got limitations. And there are people out there that are no limits, or they've followed their passions even more than I have. And it's just something to really appreciate.
Yeah, I can really relate to that because I started out in obviously Papa Bear Hikes thinking this was going to be a hiking / backpacking podcast. And it didn't take long before I realized, wow, there's just so much more out there to talk about. And even though I'm not a, for example, a climber or a sailor, it's really cool to talk to people who do that. I'm not an avid fisherman, but wow, it's really fun to talk to people who are out there doing this on a regular basis. And I learn a lot. And I'm sure you can relate to this. And if it's a similar experience, you just have conversations with some of the nicest people and walk away saying, wow, that was really an enjoyable conversation or interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for me, this weird combination of events happened. So I moved. I was very isolated. I was away from family and friends for the first time in my life. And then COVID hit. Everything got locked down. My kids were being homeschooled. I wasn't working because I was being a caretaker. And I was in this really weird headspace of, you know, what am I doing with myself? I'm not contributing anything. I don't feel good about any of the things I'm doing. I'm not making friends. I can't talk to anybody. And once the idea of the podcast popped into my brain, I was like, okay, this can solve a lot of my problems. First and foremost, I can start to gain a little bit of that connection back to people. I like talking, and I'm genuinely interested in other people. So reaching out to individuals that share outdoor passions, on top of just being able to talk to somebody about anything, that was really great for me. And then, I don't know how you feel about like the male mentality or masculinity, but I feel like we're providers. Like if we're not actually, you know, bringing stuff home, it's very easy for men to get depressed and down on themselves. And, it's certainly true in my area. That's the jobless rate is so high that men in particular are turning to drugs because they don't have a sense of purpose in their life. And as odd as it sounds, doing the 12 Hike podcast kind of gave me a little bit of that back too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that a lot of the so-called societal norms, man is supposed to go out and work and provide, those haven't been completely broken down yet, right? And the stay-at-home dad is still the outlier. It's not the norm or even the acceptable. And I personally don't really care. I personally don't think it matters what parent is at home. If a father's at home with the kids, that's great. If it's the mom, same thing. But you're right. I think men, I mean, maybe even society doesn't even judge it as much as we may think. But men certainly, I think we're tougher on ourselves than other people are.
Oh, absolutely. And we've been conditioned to that over generations. You know, that's evolutionary almost. But I've found out that, what I was feeling, I probably kept bottled up way too long. And it's kind of neat. You know, there's a guest that I had on my podcast kind of recently. It's called Fishing the Good Fight. And it's this guy that, he was a star college athlete. He got hurt. So that kind of messed with him a little bit. He's a successful business person, but at the same time, he felt this really overarching sense of anxiety, depression, and he really didn't know what to do with it. Started fly fishing, hanging out with other guys, and found out that there are other men out there that have the same feelings that he does, but they're just so afraid to come out and talk about it that it just goes untreated. So, 10 years can go by with a guy feeling these crushing feelings of depression. And he found out that if you got a group of these guys together and took them out fishing somewhere and got them away from other people, that they would really open up and unload their problems. And he started doing, fly fishing retreats, therapy retreats for men who suffer from depression.
Well, that's pretty cool because I'm a strong believer that the outdoors is therapeutic, right? There are emotional, mental benefits to enjoying the outdoors. I think we let our guard down when we're out. We can maybe open up a little bit more than we typically would. I know sometimes it brings out the child in us. You know, we get that, you know, we're in an environment where we can just be ourselves. And I think that for this person to do that, that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And nature is certainly therapeutic. You know, just this past weekend, my neighbor and I went just on a very short elk hunting trip. You know, we went, tried to hit the morning movement before it got too hot. So we hike up to the top of this mountain and we just sit there and it is so silent. I mean, you can hear the wind blowing and nothing else. And in the span of a couple hours that we were there, you know, we've got to see, several mule deer move through the area. These hawks were doing some very intricate aerial acrobatics, just chasing each other, playing. And I've had so many experiences like that, that really, it takes your mind off of things. So not only are you huffing it up this mountain and the only thing you're thinking about is breathing and not dying, but once you get up there, there's really nothing to interfere with your thoughts because we don't have cell phone service. There's no other people up there. It's this very isolating feeling that allows you to really let your guard down and just take a breath.
Right, the gravity of our everyday lives, we can leave in the parking lot, in the car, and then just walk into nature, bike in there, paddle in there. And you're right. All we're focusing on, all we care about is getting up that hill or getting across this lake, finding a good place to fish, finding a good place to set up for me to hunt. You're right. All those things stay behind you, all that baggage. And all you're focusing on is what's right in front of you.
Yeah. And I enjoy getting out and just experiencing those things almost as much as I do, you know, having successful hunting or fishing trips. You know, I love to fish. You're right. I'm more of a fisherman than I am a hunter. But if I'm out there on a lake on my kayak, I am more than content to put my rods in the rod holder and just kind of float around and just let the sun beat down on me and let the waves gently rock me. It's so relaxing that there's really nothing that compares for me. Water is just like this ultimate calming force in nature.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the bumper sticker you see that's been around for years. You still see it occasionally. A bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you could spend hours out on the lake or a pond and not catch a fish and still go home and say, that was fun. That was relaxing.
I've struggled a lot with fishing. So in Southern Ohio, fishing warm water species like crappie, panfish, bass, it came real natural to me. Me and a couple of buddies had some spots dialed in that we knew we could go there and catch fish and decent fish at that. And when I moved out here to Colorado, all of that changed because the typical warm water species that I was used to weren't as abundant and easy to catch here. You know, I'm in trout territory now. So I really had to adjust the way I fished. And on top of that, I got to experience last year ice fishing for the first time, which let me tell you, even though it's September, I cannot wait until the middle of December whenever all of our lakes freeze because that's all I can think about is going ice fishing.
Yeah, I just got into winter hiking back in winter 2017, I believe, was my first winter hiking trip. And the woods just seem so much different, just a different feel when you're out there, you know, in the wintertime, right? I mean, the sounds are different, the smells are different. Yeah, it's a whole different experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, so in Ohio, I never even had the opportunity. It never got cold enough to freeze solid enough to walk on. So me and a buddy had a rule that if it was below 45 degrees, we didn't go fishing. We're like, you know what? It's too cold. Heck with it. We're not doing it. Well, out here, we've been fishing when it's negative 10. And I'm like, this is great. And everything feels so different. Even though it's cold, you know, we're so high in elevation that the sun still warms you up. And the really creepy thing is when you're out on the lake and it starts to warm up a little bit, the ice will moan and groan and move. So the very first time I went ice fishing, I was standing there fishing, and I heard like a whale sound, ooh, and then crack. And I looked down at my foot, and a new crack had formed right where I was standing. And I thought I was going to meet Jesus. I really did.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer for those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, it always amazes me, and there's a science to it. Somebody explained it to me, of knowing the temperature, the thickness of the ice, because I'm in upstate New York, and there's ice fishing up here, and at our Boy Scout camp, they'd let the kids go out. They'd have an activity once a year where the kids would get to go out and experience ice fishing. And you're out in the lake like that, right? A little crack like that. That shore, you're like, I'm never making it over to that shore. Right? If this thing goes, I'm just going under.
Absolutely. And let me tell you something, that water is cold. It doesn't freeze just for no reason. It's cold. But the lakes we fished, you know, we were fishing on 8 inches of ice plus. So it was never any worry of us falling in. But that brand new experience, you know, experiencing something that was so foreign to me was really shocking. And that's been my whole experience moving out here to Colorado. It's like a brand new world. And that's what I really love about this area. It's so wild. I feel like I've stepped back in time into a place that it can really, it changes your outlook on life. Cause I look up at the mountains and I'm like, okay, I am so insignificant in this world because that mountain is freaking huge, and just puts everything in perspective.
Yeah. I can only imagine, you know, in Southern Ohio, you're moving from there to Colorado, and right, the fishing's different. Everything, you know, your game is bigger, right? Oh, yeah. I imagine in Southern Ohio, deer is probably as big as you're going to get. Maybe there's bear. I don't know if there's a bear season in Ohio, but you've got a lot more wildlife out in Ohio, out in Colorado.
Oh yeah. Well, there are bear sightings, bobcats. I've heard that there are mountain lions. My brother says there's something called a wampus cat. I don't know what that is, but I think it's something some of his Kentucky buddies made up just to mess with him. But just across the river in Kentucky, they have successfully reintroduced elk, and they are doing a lottery draw system like here in Colorado for elk season every year. So that's exciting. It won't be long. I'd imagine some of those elk will migrate over into Ohio.
Yeah, I think a lot of the species are starting to see some repopulation. I know in New York, moose sightings now are starting to find. They're starting to be further and further south every year. They're starting to, the moose sightings are, you know, usually were started out, you know, up around the Canadian border. Now they're moving further and further south into the Adirondacks, and I can only imagine it's not going to be that long till they're seeing them in the Catskills and other parts of the state.
I don't know why. Moose is this really weird creature to me. I didn't know that New York had them. It stands to reason because, like you said, it's around the Canadian border. But we've got moose here, and that's something I did not know until I was actually out scouting for my deer spot. You know, I was out looking for archery deer in late August before I started my hunt in September, and I saw 2 huge moose in the area I was hunting, and it blew me away. I had no idea.
Now, you actually saw the moose, because I got a story of a kid that was in my he's an adult now, but I had him on the podcast. He was telling me a story about his first moose sighting, and he said it looked like a cow on stilts. He couldn't believe how big it was.
They're the goofiest looking animal. The ones I saw, there were 2 bulls. There was a larger bull and a smaller bull, and they're so ugly, but The way they move through the forest was really interesting because there's this huge bulking animal, but I could barely hear them walking through the woods. I was really surprised. And, you know, my neighbor, he got his a moose tag here, like a bull moose, is a once in a lifetime hunt. Once you draw one tag, whether you're successful or not, you don't get to hunt them anymore. So he finally drew his after like 20 years of trying. And he went out and he shot a moose and he brought it back. And even though it was like a smaller bull, I was still just dumbfounded at how big it was. Its head was enormous. And my youngest son went over to look at it and he nudged the head with his foot and it moved a little bit. And my kid just took off. He was not happy about that.
Yeah, this young man that I'm friends with, he's up in Maine. And he said he was camping one time and he smelled something really strange. And the next day he saw moose scat outside the area where they were camping. But he said he never heard this thing going through the forest. And this is northern Maine where there's no shortage of trees. Okay. You could probably put your hands out and be able to touch a tree, you know, just walk a few feet. He said, you never hear them walking through the forest. It's amazing. As big as they are, they somehow get through the forest with those big antlers. And, you know, it kind of blows your mind when you think about it.
Yeah. I'm realizing the more that I get out in the mountains, the more that my mind gets blown. So again, this past weekend, we got out of the truck and I heard this kind of like a chirping noise. It sounded like a bird to me. I would have bet anything that it was a bird. And I asked my neighbor, I said, what kind of bird is that? And he goes, well, it's not a bird. It's a mountain lion. And I said, bullshit. There's no way that's a mountain lion. And he goes, look it up. Whenever you get home, find a video and then you text me an apology because that's exactly what they sound like. And no kidding. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but those mountain lions chirp just like a bird. That's a locator call. And the one thing that I'm most terrified of here in the mountains are mountain lions. They terrify me. And I've been around them more than I ever care to admit because I've heard that chirping before. And it makes me very unsettled.
Was that something you would hear in southern Ohio?
Oh, no way. Yeah. I've heard a bobcat scream and that's scary, but I know exactly what that was
right. Because
it's very unique. This sounded just like some kind of little songbird chirping.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how when we're taken out of the environments that we're so comfortable in, like myself here in the Northeast, I'll go to different parts of the country and people will say, aren't you afraid of black bears? Aren't there a lot of black bears where you live? And I'm like, I don't really think about it all that much. I know they're there. I know what I need to do to stay safe, but I don't think about it. And, you know, there's one conversation that comes to mind in Florida and I'm like, well, aren't you afraid of alligators? You know, he kind of laughed and they're like, well, I grew up here, so I don't really, you know, we laughed. Well, yeah, I get your point, you know, and yeah, when you grow up in an area, I think you just maybe instinctively know how to deal with the situations and how to keep yourself safe.
Yeah, maybe. And it's, you know, there's something to be said for having just basic outdoor skills. You know, a lot of just getting outdoors and experiencing things will prepare you for some scenarios. But, you know, getting attacked by some kind of wild animal, is there really anything that can prepare you for that?
Right. Yeah. You just, there's no training you can do. Right. And, you know, you have to hear about one attack and that's what sticks in your head, right? It's like any tragedy, you hear about it. And, last thing you want to hear before you go out on an extended trip into the outdoors that somebody was mauled by a bear, but you better believe that's going to be in the back of your head when you go out there. And the chances of it happening are slim to none, but
yeah. Well, and those things should be in the back of your mind. I mean, I think it's responsible to prepare for as much as you can, and especially out here, you know, the thing that I didn't prepare for more than anything was having enough water to drink while I was hiking. It gets really hot out here, even in the mountains. You know, the sun is very intense. We don't have very many cloudy days. And not having enough water and not having the proper clothing really ruined my first few hiking trips and my first few hunting trips.
Yeah, being at a higher elevation, and you talked about this a little bit during ice fishing, but you know, it's got to be the same in hunting, is that the way you dress must be a little different. The higher elevation, sun's more intense. That's a little bit different experience than hunting in Ohio as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, in Ohio, the area we lived in, it's considered a temperate rainforest. It is so humid and so wet. When we went back in July and visited my family, I thought I was in a rainforest because it is loud all the time. There are various insects, birds, tons of wildlife that are making noise all the time. And it was almost like it almost interfered with my thoughts because all I could hear was this background noise of all these bugs and frogs and whatever. And here I can hike up in the woods and it's like stone quiet. Unless there's a songbird flying around or something, you don't really hear anything. And then just the moisture problem, you know, even if you're in the shade in Southern Ohio in the summertime, it's still hot. It's oppressive. You feel like you're in an oven. Here, if I want some relief, I get underneath the shade tree and it is immediately 10 to 15 degrees cooler. But as soon as I get up and start hiking around, it's hot. I mean, like dry heat, and you dry out so fast, you don't even realize it.
Yeah. That's the danger of that part of the country, right? You don't realize you're dehydrating sometimes, right? With what they call the drier heat, where you're in a humid area, you're constantly perspiring, which is a reminder that you better drink water. Because I've heard stories of other people that have been in places like New Mexico, Arizona, and there is that danger of just not drinking enough water.
Oh, yeah. We went to Lake Powell, and there's an area on the Colorado River called Horseshoe Bend. I don't know if you've ever seen. I'm sure you have. It's a pretty famous mm-hmm. spot. Yeah. But it's about from the parking lot to the scenic view area is a relatively flat, maybe 3/4 of a mile walk. And they've got 3 or 4 separate shade areas where people can stop off and get some shade and relax. And you wouldn't think that 3/4 of a mile is that big of a deal. But when you're in Arizona and it's 115 degrees and there is not a cloud in the sky, you get hot fast. And we saw several people, like I had to actually give a lady some water, ice water, because she didn't have any with her. And it looked like she was in a little bit of trouble. She was really struggling. And it really makes you realize how unprepared most people are for anything.
Yeah, I think, you know, during the COVID era, with more people going out, wanting to enjoy the outdoors, I mean, there's good and bad, there's pros and cons to it. But yeah, one of the cons is a lot of people are going out there unprepared, which is dangerous. And, you know, and not just for the people themselves that are going out there, but you're also putting rescue workers in harm's way as well if they've got to go out and do a backcountry rescue.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for me, that's part of what I kind of hoped to accomplish with the podcast was just a little bit of an education aspect. I want people to understand that, you know, going outdoors is free to everybody. Anybody can just go hit a trailhead here in Colorado and go hike and enjoy nature. And I encourage them to do that. But at the same time, while it won't be a formal lesson on what to do, I'm no authority on hiking and outdoors by any stretch of the imagination. But I hope that people listen to enough of the stories and enough of the people that are on here that they pick up a little bit of knowledge, and then that whets their appetite and they go out and explore on their own and do research on their own and figure out what's going to work best for them. And I think that's what you've tried to do in your podcast as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, what people like you and I are able to do, maybe we can, you know, lead them to the water, but on the way there, encourage them to do the research. Like I said, there's so many resources out there now. You know, this isn't about spending $100 on different books or spending hours at the library. You could go on YouTube and pick an activity you want to do, and there's probably tens of thousands of videos on how to do it, how to prepare yourself, what you need.
Yeah, and there is. And sometimes it even comes down to just getting out there and suffering a little bit and figuring things out. Like I said, when I moved here, I wasn't ready for the heat. And one thing I figured out real quick is I was wearing the wrong underwear to go hiking in the summertime here. You know, just wearing cotton underwear, cotton socks, retains a lot of moisture, and you end up having a lot of chafing issues and your feet hurting. So yeah, I went out and did that one time and I came back and I could barely walk. And I said, you know what? That'll never happen again. I get online, do some research about what kind of undergarments I should be wearing. And I haven't had that issue since. You know, every time I go out hunting now, I go home and I'm perfectly fine. But well, it took that experience of me getting out there and really having a miserable time before I figured that out.
Well, yeah, I think the best lessons are the ones that we learn the hard way sometimes. As long as they're not dangerous, but right, wearing the wrong garments and getting some chafing, not bringing enough water, not to the point where you're in danger of dehydrating, but to the point, you know, I've had this happen where I probably could have used another 20 ounces of water. Right. You know, those are the lessons you learn that stick in your head where, you know, those are the hard lessons. Some lessons are just best learned the hard way, I guess.
Oh yeah. Well, sometimes if you don't learn them the hard way, they don't stick.
Right.
But whenever you're the one that's directly suffering, it's a little easier for that lesson to sink in.
Right. Right. So yeah. What do you have coming up at the podcast, Zach? Any special guests coming up?
You know, it's funny. I've got a whole list of people here that I was just looking at. I'm actually going to start having some people on that have been supporting the podcast. So listeners that give me feedback. I've got a lady in Canada that works with pack goats. She actually was one of the first people to ever donate to one of my fundraisers. And I was just so over the moon that someone from Canada was listening to my podcast and sent me money that she's going to be on here very soon. There's a couple of locals around that that are going to be on. I'm going to work on trying to get some bigger named guests just because some of those people were hyper interesting to talk to. You know, for example, I had a gentleman on, his name's Leo Shang. He has his own YouTube channel called Extreme Philly Fishing. And I knew that he did a very particular type of fishing. You know, he likes to, he has a life list of fish that he's caught. And then on top of that, he microfishes. But what I didn't know was his backstory. You know, he moved from three different countries to move away from oppression. He moved to the United States. He's got his master's. He was going for his doctorate. And he decided that, you know what? I can do better making YouTube videos than I can going to get my doctorate. So hearing his story was really fascinating. On top of that, I'm actually hoping to expand in the YouTube a little bit more. I want to start making some videos of some of my adventures out here. I want to record my, you know, my big game hunt. Like I said, ice fishing season's coming up, so I want to do a series on how to prepare for that. And I'm going to do another a Halloween special for October. Last year, I did a whole month, like four episodes of various Halloween stories, so local legends, things like that. I want to explore that again, because that was a lot of fun for me.
Well, that's great. I'm not going to ask you who your favorite guest was, your favorite interview. I know the answer to that. Only kidding. Just for let everybody know, Zach interviewed me a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. I didn't want to be
gratuitous. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'll just say I know the answer to that question.
Honest to God, my favorite time in the podcast was in the very beginning. It was so exciting. And I had, you know, three or four guests in a row that really just blew me away. And the fact that they were as open as they were with a complete stranger, because I sent these people messages. I didn't have anything set up for the podcast. It was just me going, okay, I've got to get like a backlog of episodes built up before I can create this thing. So the first lady I contacted, she had went out looking for the Finn treasure. Do you know about that? Have you ever heard of it?
Oh,
yeah. So this guy in Arizona hid a treasure somewhere in the Rockies, an honest to God treasure. Wrote a poem and a book about it.
Wait, I know now. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you have heard about it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you know, this lady put a portion of her life on hold and went out and looked for this thing by herself. You know, she backpacked the entire time by herself. And, I just sent her a message and said, hey, I'd like to hear your story about it. And she sat down and she was an open book. She really laid it all out there. And I was so flabbergasted. There was that moment where I was like, okay, this is something that I really want to do for a long time. This is so much fun. I don't care about success. I don't care about being famous. I just enjoy talking to people like that. And that's been my whole pursuit, just finding people, not so much the successful people and the people that might make me successful, but the people that have interesting stories and enjoy the things that I enjoy.
Yeah. Isn't it so cool the first time you reach out to a total stranger, asking them to be on your podcast, and they say, sure, I'll do it. I mean, it's motivating, and then you do it, and you finish up and you say, wow, that was so much fun. And like you said, you know, at our level, with what we're doing, you know, we're not exactly, you know, Tim Ferriss or Joe Rogan or any of those guys. I mean, let's face it, we're just having a lot of fun doing this. But, you know, to me, that's so motivating when you just randomly reach out to somebody. They look like a cool guest, and then they respond back and say, oh, sure, I'll do it.
And, you know, for me, the whole podcast thing has been very odd because I've had to do everything remotely. I haven't had one single, like, in-person interview. And I hope once COVID eases up, I can actually start going out and doing some on-site podcast recordings. That's something that I'd be very interested in. But, you know, for now, I just have to use technology and, you know, webcams and make do with what I got. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any interesting guests coming up? Anybody you've got booked or in the pipeline right now?
So, you know, it's been a really weird few weeks. I started a new job, and that's really ate up a lot of my recording time. I used to work nights, and then I'd have this big chunk of the day where my kids were at school that I could sit down, record, edit, really take my time and do those things. Now, I'm a regular working class stiff. I've got a regular, you know, 8-to-4 job. And then whenever I get home, I've got kids to take care of. So it's been a little bit stressful trying to, you know, book guests and get everything edited and sent out. I don't really have anybody in the pipeline, like, lined up. Now, I do have some interest. There's a group here in Colorado called Boulder Hiking Chicks. It's an all women's hiking group. They're going to come on sometime, hopefully in the next month. I'm going to get my neighbor on. He's an avid outdoorsman. He has his own YouTube channel, and he's really the guy that's responsible for getting me outdoors here. It was just pure luck that I ended up next to this guy, and he eats the outdoors up. He's a scout leader. He's the kind of guy, so he hasn't bought meat from a grocery store in 14 years because he goes out and hunts every year, and that's what his family eats. So I'm going to have him on and hopefully do 2 or 3 episodes with him talking about big game hunting, ice fishing, you know, those kinds of things. But other than that, I really don't have anybody lined up. I feel kind of bad about myself.
Oh, they start coming, you know, with me. I know it's kind of a feast or famine situation. I'm kind of going through a famine period where it's kind of like from episode to episode, I'm lining somebody up. But then before I know it, I'll have 4 or 5 people, and I'm like, okay, when am I fitting all this in? You know, I need to earn a living in between doing this.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I want to do, I had this idea when I first started, like, I want to spend time highlighting a particular national park or national forest, and go from one side of the country to the other. So I've got some research and writing done for Rocky Mountain National Park. And I want to go from, you know, like, the Paleo Indian era up through the current times of Rocky Mountain National Park and just give people the history, how the park came to be, some of the important people that helped make it, and then just talk about some of the attractions in the area. And I want to work my way from park to park because I feel like there's a lot of places in the United States people just take for granted that, there's nothing here to do. I felt that way in Southern Ohio. There's no places to get out and explore here. Well, there are 2 or 3 national forests that are massive in Southern Ohio and offer all kinds of recreation. So I want to help people understand that no matter what state they're in, there's something there for you to do.
I couldn't agree with you more, Zach, on that note, because I think a lot of us take for granted what's right in our own backyards. I grew up across the river from New York City, And now that I'm 3.5 hours away, I look back and say, gee, I wish in the 40 something years I lived near New York, lived that close to New York City, I'd gone into the city and done this or went over and visited this area. And it's the same thing with the outdoors. There's just so much. All of us can find something right in our backyard. Anybody that lives in the continental United States knows there's something there for all of us. And if you live in Alaska, of course, it's just one big outdoor playground. But you know, here in the continental United States, yeah, there's something for everybody.
It's odd, though, because I feel like outdoor recreation is a very cultural thing. So the farther east you go, I feel like the culture loses some of that because it's so populated, so urbanized. But once you get past the Mississippi River, the country really opens up and becomes a lot more wild, I feel like anyway. And then on top of that, you've got a group of people that have, you know, been inundated with this idea of, okay, these outdoor spaces are ours. We need to get out and use them as much as possible. And I see that all the time when I go out. You know, I see people twice my age getting out and hiking and trail running and mountain biking. And back where I lived in Southern Ohio, if it didn't have a motor on it, you weren't taking it out in the woods. No one mountain biked. They all had four wheelers and UTVs. Out here, it's a completely different scene.
Yeah, I've had guests on the podcast from Colorado. I know some people that live out there or have lived out there. And it is a big part of the culture in Colorado, right? It's not an ATV. It's, you know, I'm going to take my mountain bike out, right? I'm going to hike. You know, people in Colorado really seem to know how to enjoy the outdoors.
Oh, I mean, Colorado, Utah, even going up into Wyoming. Wyoming's wild. Have you ever been up there?
No, I've been to Utah, Colorado, Montana, never been to Wyoming though.
Wyoming's a tough place. We almost decided to move to Cheyenne, and I'm glad I didn't because I don't think I would have made it. That's a rugged country up there.
Yeah. I have a friend that grew up outside of Cheyenne, and he's told me stories about that area. But, you know, I grew up in the Northeast, which, you know, it's similar to Ohio. I grew up in New Jersey, like I said. And when you get on the other side of the Mississippi, you start to realize how big this country is. I worked for a company years ago that was, their headquarters was in Utah. So a few times a year I'd have to go out there. And I just remember the first couple trips just being in awe, just looking around saying, wow, look at these mountains. I remember the first time I went out there, it was July, and looking up and seeing snow-capped mountains. It took my breath away.
Oh, there's nothing like it. That's the first time my family came out here. They're really big in the Appalachian Mountains. They love going to Pigeon Forge and the Smokies. And I'd always tell them, those aren't mountains. Those are just hills. And they're, oh, yeah, whatever. Well, they came out here and I took them to the top of Rocky Mountains. And they said, wow, this is a mountain.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because I remember the first time coming back from Utah and telling a couple of family members about these mountains in Utah. And I said, well, it's not like we don't have mountains here in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And I was like, no, those are not mountains. You got to go out west.
Yep. And I mean, you feel bad saying it. I love I miss the rolling hills of the Appalachian Valley. You know, just all the greenery and it's very gorgeous. But it's not nearly as rugged and romantic as the Rocky Mountains are.
Yeah, it's something I think every outdoor enthusiast has on their bucket list if they haven't been out there, is to get out there and have some sort of experience in the Rocky Mountains. Because myself personally, you know, all my hiking's been in, most of it's been in the Northeast, and I'd love nothing more than to get out and spend a couple of weeks just hiking some of the areas out there, or even hiking the Colorado Trail to get that experience. Yeah,
I'm hoping that next year I can spend some time hitting some of the 13 and 14,000 foot peaks. I'm within, you know, a couple of hours of several of them, and I'd like to go, hike to the top of them at least once just to see what it's like.
Yeah. All right, Zach. It's been a pleasure talking to you again, right? Because we talked a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned to everybody, Zach interviewed me on his podcast, and Zach's podcast is the 12 Hike Podcast, and it's available on all platforms. Am I right, Zach?
Yep. iTunes, Spotify, Spreaker is a weird one that I use. That's my distribution service, but it's on there. Google, Amazon, it's everywhere.
All right, so you're easy to find. People can look this up, and I'd encourage everybody to give them a listen. I think you'll be addicted to it. Just like I do, he's trying to get everybody out there to enjoy the outdoors, and he touches on some topics that I don't. Some are similar, but you know, it's going to give you more to hear about, maybe more to inspire you to get out and enjoy the outdoors. Where can we find you, Zach, besides these platforms that you're available on with your podcast?
So our Facebook page is 12 Hike. We've got a YouTube page that's also 12 Hike. And then our Instagram page is 12 Hike Challenge. That was the only one I couldn't get changed over to just 12 Hike. It's already been taken for some reason. But we've also got a website, 12hike.com. I haven't been doing much with that just because I've been focusing more on Instagram. It seems like that's the platform that people are using to reach out and find their audiences. And then I've also got a Twitter account. I think that's the 12 Hike Podcast.
All right. We will put all of these links into the description and on our website at popupairhikes.com. And while we're on that topic, everybody, please go to popupairhikes.com and check it out. See what's going on with the podcast. Listen to past episodes. Be part of our team. While this episode's airing, I just want to let everybody know that we had a great campaign for the 46 Climbs suicide prevention fundraiser. So I want to thank everybody who helped out with that. I'm getting out with the usual suspects on Friday. We're going to go climb Storm King Mountain. Then we're going over to the Peekskill Brewery to celebrate. Once again, thanks everybody. I really appreciate your support, and I'll be thinking about you. I'll get pictures of us up there on Storm King and at the brewery celebrating. Zach, once again, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Martin. I really appreciate it.
All right. Everybody get out there and have some fun and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.